this week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 2, Episode 12 of TMNT Classic, The Catwoman from Channel 6. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 17. Welcome to episode 17. Here we are.
Yeah, and it's a good one, too.
I'm still sick.
As you can tell,
this sick last episode, sick this episode. This is the ending of the sickness.
I would apologize for last episode.
Apologize for what?
Because it was short, because I had shit to do and you were sick. But fuck it, it's free.
I was a mess.
Like, fuck it, it's free. What are you going to do? It's free entertainment.
I didn't put it up yet, so.
Oh, well.
There you go. You'll get
a bunch of listeners. By the time you hear this, you will have heard that.
Yeah, I'll put it up today. I mean, there was not much editing in it. I just.
No, because we blasted through that shit.
Well, you know, I was floating between 100 and 101 fever. It was pretty bad. So listeners, vitamins. Take your vitamins. Don't leave your house without your coat. You know, somebody's sick. Don't talk to them. Avoid people. That's the best.
Get some hand sanitizer. Drink a lot of water. Keep hydrated. And speaking of sickness, this episode
is sick.
Yeah. This is a weird episode.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, it's got some weird shit in it. So should we just start at this? Start at the beginning?
Yeah, just go ahead. Go.
So, episode starts with the turtles watching TV about a monster eating Cleveland.
That's the second time, right?
They love monster movies. They love shitty monster movies, which is like yeah.
I can relate.
Yeah, it's fun.
I love shitty monster movies.
But then Splinter comes in and goes, "You guys watch too much TV."
And I like how Splinter's become the nagging, you know, mom.
Splinter's the Krang in this situation?
Yeah, he's the Krang, you know?
Donatello, did you clean your room? Raphael, don't watch so much TV. Michelangelo.
the best part of this beginning is he goes, "You guys watch too much TV," and then they just laugh it off. Like, fuck you, we're going to watch more TV. They could care less.
I do love that.
Couldn't care less.
That's the teenage reaction. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they just keep doing it. I mean, what's Splinter going to do? Let's be real. He's got no real authority over them. When push comes to shove.
Yeah.
They could take him.
Could they? Because he's also like he varies between the best, like the best karate master in the world, or not.
Kind of like Shredder.
And Shredder.
He did do that epic kick to Shredder.
He did the fucking epic kick. Is that on YouTube?
No.
I should just clip that out and put it on YouTube just to share with everyone.
The best kick in TMNT history.
I'm gonna do that on my free time tonight.
I remember what episode that was?
I'll find it. I'm sure I have it in my notes somewhere.
It's so funny. Okay, so then this episode, like the Baxter Stockman episode, has a science thing in it that makes no sense.
Oh, well, yeah. The science in this episode is...
It makes no sense!
So, right after they talk about... They talk to Splinter about watching too much TV and laugh him off, it cuts to Shredder, and Shredder is using a matter transporter. I don't know where he is. He's like an empty warehouse, like science lab in somewhere.
Warehouse number 15.
Yeah, that's also a science lab.
Shredder's had more addresses than
you. No, yes. You don't have any.
I have quite a few actually, but not compared to Shredder. I got nothing, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anyone has like who's moved that much.
I moved a lot, but not as much as Shredder. I mean, Shredder moves every week. I'm probably going to be moving again, actually.
So then Shredder demonstrates what it does by having by sending the open rock day to the dump.
He just teleports them to the dump.
So, and they immediately think it's a restaurant.
Well, what's funny is they're eating Chinese food.
Yeah, they eat Chinese food.
There's this weird Chinese food thing in this episode. It really doesn't matter the plot. It's just kind of there. But go on.
No, there is. It matters later.
Barely. I mean, barely.
No, it matters. I'll bring it up when it comes up later. All
right, go ahead.
But then B-Up and Rockstar are in the sewer, and they get flushed down for some reason. Like, they get dumped they're at the dump, and they get flushed down the sewer. Like New York just sends its garbage into the sewer.
Yep. That's where it goes.
Well, I guess, but not really.
That's where it goes.
And they end up in the turtle's lair.
Which, the way they enter that scene is laugh out loud.
Yeah, they just walk in.
It cuts to them falling down this pipe, and then the next, it cuts back to the turtles watching TV, and then in the background...
In the doorway in the background,
B-Rock Roxy just appear. Hey, what's up? Just walk into the shot.
Well, they also make it a point, this episode specifically, to say how fucking impossible it is to find the turtle lair. Like, it's the most hidden thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Right? But they find it by accident.
Yep. So then, after that, Bebop and Rocksteady decide to fight the turtles with their wooden swords.
With their bats. Why do they have baseball bats?
Well, no, it's a wooden sword for Rocksteady. For Bebop, it looks like a wooden sword for a second, but then it turns into a bat as the fight progresses.
And they're like sheathed. Like, they have sheaths on the back, but they're like,
yeah, exactly. Shit,
but it's a wooden fucking...
It's a wooden sword.
Yeah.
There's not a sword in it.
Yeah.
So then they fight them.
And they just, the first thing they do is just smash up that fucking table. They're like,
they destroy their TV.
They destroy the table. The first thing they do is hit the table, and then they fucking destroy the TV.
Take that.
Like, they just fuck up their shit. They fuck up the wall. And then they get zapped back.
That's what Bebop and Rocksteady do. They're like, they're what the turtles do to April's apartments.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're doing what the turtles have done to April's apartment in the past.
PT, post turtles.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I think that all the time. I'll do that to stuff where if I see, you know, let's just say it'll show, you know, a city that's falling apart in America. Like, what's like one of the crappiest cities in
Detroit?
The United States? Detroit, yeah. I'll see Detroit, I'll go, that's PT. Post turtles. The Ninja Turtles were there, that's why it's so messed up.
Yeah, then so they end up fucking the turtle's lab up, and then it cuts back to Shredder, who doesn't know where they are now, or is playing around with the transporter somehow. And then the cat shows up.
This is this random cat.
The cat shows up and presses some random buttons on the thing and zaps B-Up and Rocksteady back home.
Oh, is it the cat that does it?
Yeah.
I thought Shredder does it.
No, the cat does it, and then because Shredder asked them where were they, because they were at the turtle's lab.
Yep.
And they were like, how did you get there? And they don't remember because they were flushed down the water.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's not like they actually legitimately found it.
No.
They just stumbled into it.
But then the turtles are now all upset about their TV being broken. They don't know what to do about it.
Yep. Of course, falls on Donnie to fix it.
Yeah, they try to get Donnie to fix it, but Donnie can't for some reason. What did he say? That he can't fix it because...
I don't think he has enough parts or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I like how Donatello can make anything out of anything, but fix a TV. Nope.
Whoa. Well, it's also like, imagine if I took a bat to your TV and then was like, I smashed into a million pieces. You're like, fix it. You're like, I can't.
Yeah, but Donatello is
destroyed. Yeah, I know. Donatello's skills are like out of this planet.
And more.
He can do anything with anything.
He can do anything with anything, but fix the TV. That's too much.
And then we cut to April. At the fat cabbie contest.
Is that where she is?
Yeah, she's at the fat cabbie contest.
That's so funny.
Do you remember this?
No, I don't know how I forgot this.
This super huge fat dude, like, he's the fattest cabbie. There's like, it's April surrounded by a bunch of fat cabbies. And the fattest one of them is like right in the middle. And April's asking, how did you do this? How did you win this contest? And he says, because I ate a lot of shit with onions.
That's right.
And he burps in her face.
Welcome to America, baby.
Oh, that's so good.
I love fat competitions. It's great. Food eating competitions.
But food eating is not really fat because, like, what's his name? Like, the Japanese
guy.
Well,
the exception. Most people are fat, I would say, who win eating contests. I mean, in general, if you want to eat a lot of food, you have to have a big stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, you know, as somebody who's, you know, I remember I went through a point where I had to lose a bunch of weight really fast. I cut my diet back dramatically. When you do that, you shrink your stomach.
Yeah.
And you get full really fast.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, eating everything, you got to have a big stomach.
Right.
But yeah, so this fat cabbie, you know.
He ate a lot of shit. He won the contest, which I don't know. It's just like taking place randomly in the city, so.
Eat everything contest.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you I was in an eating contest?
What? No.
I was in a cookie eating contest.
Did you win?
No. What an awful experience that was, actually.
Oh, you make you fucking hate cookies.
Yes. It sounds like it would be great, right? But it was terrible.
Oh, I always wanted to do the go-go curry eating contest, but then I think about how much curry that actually is.
What's that? I don't know this. What is this?
You know go-go curry, right?
Go-go curry, yeah.
They have they used to, I don't know, it used to be like anyone you could pay like whatever amount and you could sign up to be like, they have a contest, it's like the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, you just eat a bunch of bowls of curry, and if you win, you get like a crazy amount of money or something.
What if you lose?
What do you mean, what if you lose?
Like, do you have to pay for all the food you ate?
I don't know how it works. It used to be open invite, but now it's like a legit competition.
Okay. That's pretty. It was in my college. It was freshman year of college. There was this local place called Cookie Monster or Cookie Something, right?
Couldn't be Cookie Monster. That would be like copyright infringement.
I think it was Cookie Monster.
Oh, maybe.
So anyway, I mean, it didn't look like the Sesame Street Cookie Monster, their mascot. It's just, you know, the term monster. I mean, it's just kind of a general term. As long as it doesn't look like Sesame Street's Cookie Monster, you should be okay. But anyway, so they had these cookies for the contest, but they were hard cookies. They were, you know, they weren't soft, and they were big.
Right.
And you got to try to eat as many as you can in a short period of time, and I just stuffed them in my mouth, and I cut up the inside of my mouth.
Jeez.
And then I remember, I lost. That was the best part.
Jeez.
F this place. I'm never eating one of these cookies again. This was a horrible experience. And then there was this, like, these girls running the competition, and one of them wanted to, like, give me a trophy. Because, like, you get a trophy for participating, but she wanted to give me, like, a bigger one than I was supposed to have.
Why? Because you cut your mouth up?
No, I didn't tell her that. And I'm going, oh, okay, whatever, I'll just take the stupid thing. I don't care, I'm going to throw it out anyway. Like, I don't care.
Right.
And then the girl working the contest with her is going, you can't give him that. He's not supposed to have that. And she's like, no, he is. And she's like arguing with this girl, and I'm going, I don't give a crap.
I don't care about your cookie trophy.
Look, sweetheart, I don't care, all right? I think what it was that she liked me. She thought I was cute. And she's just trying to, like, give me something, you know, or trying to talk to me or something like that. And, you know, and I'm just going, look, I really don't give a crap. My mouth is bleeding right now.
She's the Irma of cookie contests.
She was like the Irma of the cookie contest to bring back turtles. Yes, I would say that's correct. Okay, so let's go on. So
the turtles call April after she does her report and tell her to come over because it's an emergency. And it turns out they just want to watch her TV, her little portable TV.
Hey, you got no TV.
Got no TV. Got to watch your monster movies.
Got to watch it.
But then April finds the Chinese food that Leo and Rocksteady were eating.
Yep.
And they find out it was from a place called Wu's Oriental Palace. So she goes to track it down. So
true.
Thus, the Chinese food is important.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, so she leaves to go to Wu's Chinese Oriental Palace, whatever.
And it's a great place.
It's the greatest place on the planet. The guy behind the counter,
mm-hmm,
is a madman.
He's great. He's using this giant butcher's knife to cut a piece of cabbage, and he's doing it violently.
Yeah. He's also very, like, as soon as April walks in and says she's a reporter, he's like, no camera.
I hate reporter. Whatever. I hate reporters, too. I think I'm on his side on that one. Who likes reporters? Come on. They're so unlikable.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, the people in the restaurant are just all like sumo wrestlers and like,
yes,
and like karate dudes. Like, they're in karate, yes, gi that, like, the sumo, whatever the underwear thing is. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I don't know what it's actually called.
What?
I don't know what that thing is actually called.
Yeah, I knew what it was, but I can't think of what I thought right now.
I don't know what it's called.
But then she asked the guy behind the counter, like, did you serve this to anyone who looks like a rhinoceros or a pig?
Yeah.
The guy goes, oh, yeah, the guy's wearing Halloween costumes. They came from this abandoned warehouse on the dock.
Yeah. He just happened to know that for some reason. What, did he ask them?
But no, like, Vio and Rocksteady just walked in, ordered Chinese food, and, like, what? That's weird.
You gotta just accept it.
Yeah. Well, you accept a lot of weird science already in this shit, so.
Yeah. Okay, so then April goes over there to find out what's going on. And, of course, there's the cat from earlier there.
Yeah.
And the cat jumps in the machine, and April goes inside it for some reason, too, at the same time.
Yeah, April walks over there. She goes, I take the pictures. So she walks into the chamber and starts taking photos of her feet.
And
like, directly cat, straight down. Like, you
fucking
idiot.
And the cat jumps in, and then the machine goes off for some reason.
Because the cat sets it off and then runs into the machine.
Oh, my God, this cat.
This fucking cat.
And then Baxter – this is just like when Baxter Stockman became the fly. It's the same thing.
The same exact premise.
Something that's not designed to do that combines them, right? Yeah. I mean, so the machine is designed to teleport you, not to fuse your DNA with something else.
Yeah, it makes no sense, really.
Why would – okay, Bebop and Rocksteady were standing on the machine together. Why did they fuse?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You know?
Also, at the end, they never explain – the solution at the end.
I'm not even going to get into that yet. That's hilarious within itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she gets fused with this cat, right? And it's not that – what's hilarious about it is the thing goes off. The cat just leaves. All right, whatever.
The cat, like, runs through a crack in the wall. The cat exits stage left.
Cat exits stage left. And now April suddenly is turning into a cat woman.
Yes.
And I'm going, okay, but what about the cat? Does the cat turn into anything?
Yeah, that's the other thing I was wondering. I thought, like, there was going to be two parts to the story. One part is going to be April turning into cat. The other half would be cat turning into April.
Right. But no. And you later find out they imply that that's what's happening, but it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. But later on they imply it, but they also don't solve the problem in any meaningful way in the show.
Okay, so the cat – now cat April goes home, I guess. And
okay, so wait. Cat April – is April Neo turning into a cat, or
Capril, if you will?
So, we'll cat April is the human turning into the cat. April cat is the cat turning into a human.
You're confusing me, all right?
Cat April goes home.
Capril.
Cat April goes to her apartment.
Okay, she goes to her apartment.
She's followed by cats.
That's right. And now it turns into, you know, freaking Tim Burton's Batman movie.
She's followed by cats, and who else is she followed by?
Irma.
Fucking Irma. Okay, are they roommates?
I assume they were.
I'm assuming it's like a friend situation where she lives across the hall.
Doesn't April? I thought April lives in her apartment because the turtles destroyed her apartment.
No, April moved. I guess again.
She moved again. PT.
They not only destroyed her apartment, they destroyed the building.
All right, but anyway, let's move on. So,
April was followed to her apartment by the cats and Irma.
That's right.
And Irma decides to feed the cats milk.
That's right.
And during this, April's like freaking out and holding back her catness.
Yeah, but I thought the voice actress must have been annoyed during that whole scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, meow. I'm really perfect. Like, she has to cut into speaking and then exaggerating meow and purr in her words.
Yeah.
It's really obnoxious.
Like, anytime she says the word me, it becomes meow.
Yeah,
like, it's not the most cleverly written thing. Just,
it's so obnoxious.
It's really obnoxious. And then, then the turtles decide to finally go to Woo's.
That's right.
Like in the show, April leaves and they go, "We should follow her." And then, like, but in the reality of the show, like, April's gone there, gone to the other place. Been turning into a cat and gone home by the time the turtles arrive.
That's right.
So they were like, "We'll go after we finish our show."
We gotta watch the show.
Gotta watch their monster movie.
It's important.
So they show up to Woo's, and immediately this big kung fu guy is like, "Fuck you! I'm gonna fight you."
Yeah, I love that. He just rolls in, and somebody wants a piece.
Not even a question. No questions asked. Just like, "Fuck you! We're gonna fight."
Hey, if a bunch of turtles rolled into my restaurant, I'd kick their ass.
Well, he calls them Humphrey Bogus. Because they all look like Humphrey Bogart.
That's right.
So pretty clever.
They try to impersonate Bogey. Doesn't go too well.
And then they kung fu fight that guy and a bunch of other guys, and they throw lettuce at people in the face. They break tables.
Turns into kind of a food fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking weird.
It is weird.
And then we cut back to April at the Channel 6 News, ready to about to go on the air for something, and she freaks out because she's turning into a cat and throws a vase at Vernon.
It's very weird.
And she's turning.
And he tells her to stop being so catty.
Yeah, there's a lot of cat jokes early on in this. A
lot of cat jokes.
She's turning into a cat, and all I can think of when she's a cat is that this is someone's fetish.
Oh, totally. Oh.
This episode is just like, it's like this is when furries discovered they were furries, and she runs away from the dressing room.
Yep.
And Irma's like, "Fuck, where did she go?" And then she finds the turtle communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And decides to use it to contact the turtles.
Yep.
And then we cut to the turtles back in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant is just trashed, just destroyed.
That's right.
It's PT.
It's PT. It's post turtles. It's been post turtles.
And I can't remember what happened. Like April decides to go back to the lab to try and like cure herself.
Yeah, she wants to figure out what's going on.
And Shredder finds her and catches her in a cage he has set up.
Conveniently, you know, ready to fall on her.
Also, when Beam and Rocksteady go to apprehend her, and also she can fight now because she's part cat.
That's right.
And she beats the shit out of them.
That's right. She's part cat.
And then Shredder traps her in a cage.
And April gets trapped in a cage.
So, April gets trapped in a cage. Irma meets the turtles at a train station.
Mm-hmm.
And tells them, like, the last time I saw April was at her apartment.
Yep.
Shredder then puts the collar on back at wherever the lab he's in. He puts a collar on April to, like, control
her. He wants.
To control her, to make him her master.
Yeah, and then Bebop tries to give her a mouse to eat, but she won't do it.
Yeah. But then after he puts the collar on her and turns on, he opens the cage, she runs out, immediately goes to the zoo and lets a tiger out.
Yeah, and the tiger listens to her, which I also love.
But it's like, it's out of fucking nowhere. And then the tiger is like, all of a sudden, at her apartment fighting the turtles.
She needs tiger help.
Also, did you notice when the tiger is walking up the alley, they reuse the animation like 5 times?
Yeah.
So it's like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail when the guy's running with the sword and it cuts back and he's further back and then it cuts and he's really close and he cuts and he's back again.
Wait, is that Monty Python?
Yeah, it's Holy Grail.
I've seen that in other movies, too.
Yeah, well, Monty Python was, like, the first big one.
Though. Oh, okay, yeah. I remember.
But they cut back to the tiger, and he's, like, at the beginning of the alleyway. He's at the front of the alleyway. He's back there. He keeps walking forward. It's, like...
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
And then suddenly Splinter is complaining about... First, he's cleaning up the apartment after it's been destroyed.
Oh, yeah, Splinter's, like, tapping the wall with his stick and add it back to normal. Like, what the fuck did you do, Splinter? You tapped the wall with your stick.
Oh, well, because he's Splinter, man. That's enough.
But it was, like, he didn't have, like, cement and, like, bricks.
Nope. He didn't need it. He didn't need it.
Yeah.
He got a stick. That's all he needs.
And then he brings up, like, this plot point, like...
He's afraid of cats.
Thirds into the show, he brings up this plot point about how he hates cats.
Which
realistically, if you were writing a tight episode, that would have been way early on in the show.
You should have brought it up when he was. They should have been watching a horror movie that had a giant cat on.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he goes, "Oh, I'm so scared of cats. Turn that crap off."
Also, Splinter is a human that turns into a mouse. He's not a mouse that turns into a human. Why is he scared of cats? It makes no fucking sense.
Maybe in Japan he was scared of cats.
In Japan, oh, I guess. No! If he's in Japan, he Japanese people love cats.
Japanese people love cats! What are you talking about?
And then he brings up this thing about how he hates cats, right? And it's like a regular little house cat.
Yeah, that's right. He's just hanging out in the sewer. And this is really weird. So, I don't know when this happens, but the turtles are looking for the cat that...
Oh, wait, Irma shows them photos that April took when she got when she was at the laboratory the first time.
Yeah,
because she developed them at home or something, and at our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So she shows them the photos, and they see the cat that turned her into a cat.
Yeah,
mind you, they still haven't seen her as a cat, really.
No. So they look for this cat in the alleyway that's supposed to be the one that was infected with April. So now this cat is like April 2? It's really weird, not explained well.
Yeah. So, and then, you think during the show they're going to, okay, we have to find this cat because we need to bring the cat and April back together to swap minds again or whatever.
Yeah.
Does not happen.
No.
That is not the point. That's not why they're looking for this
cat. But they find the cat. It's kind of humanized, and it jumps in Donatello's arms, and it's kind of...
But then they also say that's because he was eating anchovy pizza.
I would love some pizza right now, actually. Ugh. Ugh.
Pizza with Cocoa Puffs on it?
You know what? I'm so hungry, I'll eat that. You know, I haven't been eating anything lately, right? Like pretty much. I had some soup. Have a piece of bread. Oh, I feel like crap. I'm not gonna finish that piece of bread.
Pizza with Cocoa Puffs is your
yes, please. Delicious.
So then, April is with the tiger and going back to the turtle lair.
Yep.
And Shredder calls Krang and tells him what the plan is.
And Krang is saying that Shredder finally did something right.
Yeah. What I also thought, I mean, when I was watching this episode, the first thing I thought was, if April knows where the turtles are, and Shredder controls April, why does Shredder just send April to the lair and not go himself?
So that would make sense.
It would make perfect sense. But instead, he's like, April's going to go, like, steal a tiger and go to the lair and kill the turtles.
Yep.
Which is, of the plots he's had so far, of the plans he's had so far, is by far one of the weakest.
I would agree.
Ugh.
So then...
April shows up in the sewer with her tiger.
Yep.
And fights Splinter?
She tries. She's going to. And then the turtles show up and chop the collar off of April's neck, and she stops fighting Splinter.
Yeah. But before they go, we're going to save Splinter. And Irma's like, who's Splinter? He sounds dreamy.
I love that. Oh, that killed me.
Which is like, oh, shit, this is going to come back later.
What happened to her robot boyfriend? She don't want that Robo D anymore.
What was his name? Something One? Rex One?
Rex One. He dumped her. He wasn't about it.
Fucking Rex One.
Where is my dinner, bitch? Rex One, I don't like the way you talk to me. Quiet whore. I'm watching the game. Leave me alone. That would be awesome. That's if I wrote it, that's what I would make him do. He would just treat her like garbage. Well, if you treat her like crap, she'd actually want to stay with him.
Could you imagine like a honeymooners but with Rex One and Irma? One of these days, Irma.
Bam. To the moon.
To the moon.
To the moon.
Everywhere. It's like the subway announcement. To the moon.
To the moon. The moon.
One of these days, Irma, bang, zoom, to the moon.
I love when Ralph Crampton does that. It's great. Alice is the type of woman, if you punch her, she'll hit you back.
Oh.
Alice, you can put her down, but when she gets up, oh, she's going to come at you. Alice, you know, you got to knock her out. You can't just hit her.
Alice is the mom when the kid's screaming in like the toy store.
Yeah.
Just leans over and goes, wait till we get home.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you're like, oh fuck, I fucked up. I fucked up real bad.
No, you know who reminds me a lot of Alice? Have you met the dog's girlfriend?
Yeah.
She reminds me so much of Alice.
Really?
I think so. Well, when I was around her,
I've never seen her in that. She's always been super friendly and nice.
Oh no. Well, not when I was around. Because she was just talking to the dog the way she would talk to him normally. And she was very comfortable, you know, around me, I guess. And she, the way they fight and argue. It's right out of the honeymooners. It's so funny.
Great.
It's great.
Well, according to the Turtlepedia, Wu is a reoccurring character.
Wu. All right, so they... Like, this part's really weird. Okay, so... They resolve the situation. They trick the tiger into a cage they conveniently have.
Yeah. There's two cages in this episode that are both conveniently placed.
They just happen to have a cage, you know.
There's also so many – did you notice all the errors in this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Like Leo calls – Irma calls and Leo picks up, and then it's Raph, and he says, I'm Leo.
Oh, yeah. No, all the time.
And then Leo goes and cuts the necklace off, and then it's Donatello with the sword.
Yep. Yep. They do this. They always screw up those headbands.
Yeah. How do they lure they lure him over with the little remote control, the little toy.
A wind-up mouse.
Yeah, a little toy mouse.
It's a wind-up mouse.
So they cut the collar off of April. Yep. They catch the tiger. So now the turtles have a tiger in the sewer.
Yep.
Which, that's fucking weird.
They just have one.
And they cut back to Shredder, and Shredder's like, I lost control. I don't know where April is. I lost contact with her.
Yep.
And they go, and Bebop goes like, oh, I forgot to feed her dinner. And the mouse bites her. Bites his finger.
Bites his finger.
Runs onto the transportation chamber thing. Mm-hmm. And he just smashes it to shit because he tried to kill the mouse.
Kill the mouse.
And that turns April back to normal.
Is that why she turns back to normal?
That's what I think.
Well, it's never explained. Because she comes back to normal, she's April.
Yeah, also in the scene before they go back to the sewer, they're holding the cat. So you think the cat's going to come into play, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I was assuming they were going to put her and the cat in the machine.
That's what I thought. They're going to go back to the machine.
The writer, as he was writing it, was going, eventually this will happen. Then he realizes he has no more time.
He's like, I got 2 minutes left. Fuck.
I got 2 minutes. I can't do this now.
In my head, they broke the machine and the machine reversed. Breaking the machine reversed everything, which doesn't make sense. What?
They could have had a line of that.
Yeah.
Just cuts back and it's like she's suddenly, you know, not a turtle anymore. I mean, she's not April anymore. A cat April anymore.
Yeah. And then Irma comes home, comes to the turtle lair and is like, I'm here to meet Splinter. And then Splinter shows up and she's like, oh, you're a mouse. And runs away.
Yeah, Irma, she's like, where's that hot hunk Splinter?
Ugh.
Hunky Splinter. Hey, look, Irma knows, right? Irma's desperate. She needs a man, okay?
Yeah.
She needs it.
And that's the episode.
That's it. Episode's over.
Wait, before we go, I'm going to send you this thing.
Send it.
They just released new Ninja Turtle figures that are so fucking awesome.
Ooh. Robot 6. I like Robot 6. It's a good sight. Oh, those look great.
Yeah, but they're only the, Bandai? Bandai's SH Figure Arts line. And they're really cool. They're based on the old animated series, but they're only available in Japan for now. But I'm sure they'll be at a con or something. They look really fucking good.
Yeah, they look really good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. I'm going to throw this out there before the episode. Would you ever go out with Irma if you could in real life? The real-life Irma equivalent. She'd be really easy to go out with, I would argue.
I think it's – all I know about Irma is like her dealings with April. I don't know, what else is she about? What is she into?
She's not. She's a loser.
But you know, is that it? Is that all I know about Irma? She's just a fucking loser?
She comes across to me as a loser, you know? She's got nothing going on. She's man crazy.
I look at the Turtlepedia. Right? The Turtlepedia. And right. they have quotes from Irma.
Uh-huh.
You know what the quote from Irma is? We're gonna end it on this quote. We're gonna sign off on this quote, okay? I'm gonna tell you what this quote is.
Ready.
Then the show's over. Irma's quote. Are you single?
That's it. Episode over. We're out of here.
Oh my god.
I'm King Cowabunga. Head down.
I'm Peter Tossengove.
Take care.
Later.